Thursday, December 15th, and this is Geek Nights with Rim and Scott and Emily. Tonight, they'd like to tell you about shaving. Oh boy.
Let's do this.
Yeah, so it's freezing rain out there, and if the power goes out, we're not uploading this podcast, so yeah.
And well, I guess MTA strike tomorrow. Oh no.
Yeah, that's going to be fantastic.
I guess we'll upload it. I mean, if we get something recorded and saved and then the power comes back on at some point, maybe.
But Scott, what are you going to do if the MTA strikes?
I'm not going to freaking work, that's for sure.
What am I going to do on Sunday? There's like a of course it's not rush hour, but they were talking about a 4-passenger car rule.
Yep. Well, you know what? I'll drive you and 2 mannequins.
So anyway, I'm just here for the weekend to escape the, you know, seductive procrastination powers of Manhattan while I finish my term paper. You know, I figure being out here in the boonies, I'll get more done.
Yeah,
cuz
there's no seductive procrastination powers in here with all our technologies
and our
board
wall
games
of
and anime
and manga and board games.
I have trouble, like, I know it's weird, but like I'm very personal about computers. Like when using another person's computer is like, I don't know, like using, I'm trying to think of a good personal analogy, but
toothbrush?
It's like, it's more sanitary than that. But you know, I have trouble relaxing. And like just wasting time on somebody else's computer. Like I feel like if I'm using a borrowed computer, I should be like actually doing work.
I have the dual nature. On one hand, I'm an IT professional, and I'm very good at, like, I know a lot of people's passwords, but like I'm not conscious of it. And I see like horrible things that people have hidden on their hard drives, but I just don't even think about it. But at the same time, I'm very good at computer forensics, and I want to just dig through and see what dirt I can find.
Yeah, see, it used to be where using another person's computer was like this alien, painful experience. But now, most of the computers that I use all have Firefox. And as long as they have Firefox, I can access all my web stuff. And I have enough stuff that's web-only and web-based that it doesn't matter if I don't have my desktop stuff.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't bother me that much. It's more like, it's not like, oh, I'm worried I'm going to find something weird on computer or anything like that. It's more like, you know, stuff's not organized the way I'm used to it being organized. And, you know, you gotta resist the urge to change things. You know, I don't want to, you know, last time I was here, I changed Rim's desktop and he still got it changed. So,
well, because your change was better than my desktop.
Ghost in the Shell, yeah.
So that's the thing, is sometimes, like, I'm trying to make a change. Like, I know this will make their computer faster, but sometimes it's like, I know that this way is more efficient, but are they used to the other way, and will they bitch?
Well, remember that time we were at Luke's house, and we turned on his computer, and he didn't have a video card driver
installed? Well, that's just because he knows nothing about computers.
We installed video card drivers and all this stuff. And he was mad when he came home until he realized that it was better.
Yep.
We have done a good thing.
You just don't know.
See, those are the best good deeds, you know. Don't you feel warm inside? Helping people. Oh yeah, like when you helped Alice with her computer and she like venerated you all weekend. That was something special.
Yeah,
right?
I've learned
there.
That removing spyware is very lucrative, because even if you don't ask for money, people give you money anyway.
Well, yeah.
Well, or cookies.
Don't you love when the non-technology people, and like, to be honest, you know, I'll be perfectly frank. I'm kind of like one of those people, kind of like the people who drive a car and they have a vague idea of what's happening under the hood. And, you know, but they're not being able to, like my sister, you know, get out the wrench and, you know, take the thing apart. So I'm, you know, I like computers. I'm a film animation person. So, you know, I'm more of an art girl than a tech girl. But I like the tech end of things. I just, you know, not as cool as these suckers here.
Despite my ancient computer that these two were making fun of me for not 2 minutes ago.
You know, a lot of people would consider my computer ancient, and it's really not.
But it's just not a media computer. It's like, it's perfectly viable for all the stuff you do in
sort
general.
Sort of, it crashes.
It does.
Yeah, the USB crashing
but
is not good.
But for all of you who are following along, next Monday we're going to continue the buying a computer saga. And the forums have been exploding about that, so expect some good stuff.
Rim. Oh, bad thing. Did I tell you I had like this, I love my 3D teacher, but like every time computers comes up, he's like a major Windows fanatic. And I don't know how anybody can be a Windows fanatic.
I heard that too. Like some podcast was saying, like, did you know there are actually Windows fanatics? And I'm like, what? And they were like, yeah, we didn't think these people existed, but they're out there. And
yeah,
they're
like,
real.
I always figured that people who use Windows and like it is just because they don't know better, or they don't want to learn, or Linux is scary.
I met one guy who
was... We fought with him about copyright law, too.
Yeah, I knew that there was one guy once who was a Windows fanatic, but he was like, Windows XP is the best. And I'm like, what do you do with your computer?
What are you talking about?
He runs Windows XP, Maya, and nothing else on like this dual processor machine.
See, this is another thing.
He doesn't use the computer for anything.
What is it with the Maya people?
I don't know. Maya.
I've got like this ongoing love affair with Maya. It's my new obsession.
Because they're not really computer people. He's really just a Maya guy, and he runs Maya on Windows as opposed to, I guess, Mac. And
oh,
I think
Maya
just likes it better on Windows, so he's a Windows fanatic.
Apparently, Maya does... for some reason, there's, like, this talk about that it's optimized for Windows, or it runs better on Windows, or something like that.
Whatever.
I've got a Personal Learning Edition on my Mac, and it takes forever to load. Like, apparently I checked, I have sufficient RAM, I don't know what the problem is, it's just like slow as beans.
We'll see what happens with the Intel Mac action.
Yep.
The one cool guy at work is waiting
until they come out to buy a new PowerBook.
I think everyone is.
Yeah. Except me, who's... I've got to find a good laptop before I go to Japan, and my sister's got some good deals through her school.
I heard a rumor that Apple's going to come out with a laptop that doesn't have a hard drive, it just has flash.
Ooh.
So if that happens, I might get that because, damn, it'll be small.
Yeah, you know, I heard a rumor that Steve Jobs personally comes to your house and delivers it every time you buy an Apple product. So we'll see where that goes.
So that's how he sells all those things.
Though, speaking of laptops, remember the MIT $100 laptop that they want to make?
You mean the useless thing with the crank on it and the tiny, tiny screen?
And it sparked a lot of debate, but they picked a manufacturer now.
Someone's actually going to build them?
Well, apparently, I mean, the Slashdot article is very misleading. They haven't found someone who said they can build it. They picked a company and asked this company to come up with a feasible design.
Didn't they already design it, and now they're just looking for someone to build it? I mean, what the hell?
Well, they've designed it, but it's not $100 what they want.
I heard it was kind of like, you know, the case that they wanted for it was very, like kind of kid-looking.
They wanted it to be, like,
it looks
rubber
like a toy.
durable.
But that's good because then it'll be, you know, I guess the idea is that you'll give this to, like, poor people in Africa and such so that they can have some sort of access, you know. Like, I've heard of towns where people have wireless laptops and some guy drives through the town on a motorcycle and collects all the emails wirelessly and then drives to some place with his internet and dumps all the emails off.
So
if people had this kind of thing, it would just be so much easier for them to get in on that sort of system.
Well, I mean, it's a really good idea, but what surprises me is how much absolute vehemence there is in the people who are opposed to the idea of donating these laptops or designing them or anything.
Why?
Their argument seems to be this money could be spent better, or why not give them $100 worth of food, or... Basically, their arguments seem to be we should only focus on one problem at a time instead of trying to fix many problems.
I think there are certain areas of the world where it does seem not to be a priority as far as, you know, the things that need fixing.
But, I mean, if someone's going to... I mean, my take is basically if someone's going to go out of their way to do a charitable thing...
If they donate something, you know, if somebody's giving something that can help, why not take it?
I mean, more that if I'm doing it of my own prerogative, I should be able to do whatever I want. If I donate a toy to a kid or food or a Band-Aid or a laptop, I donated something.
Yep.
So you can't tell people what to donate, then it's not really a donation.
Yeah, the one good thing I have to say is, like, you know, if someone's going to donate, I mean, saying that, like, food is the number one problem here, that people are starving in Somalia or something, right? So anyone who donates should donate food. Well, what if I'm, you know, what if my donation of food isn't so much because I'm not a farmer, but I can donate a whole lot of computer stuff, and the farmer can donate a whole lot of food, you know? Everyone should donate where they can do the most good in, you know, their area. Because I couldn't really donate that much food. You know, I'm not a farmer. But the bad thing is, okay, $100 computer, it's real cheap. It could bring the internet to all these people. But $100 is still really expensive for a poor, starving person.
Well, the rationale here is that governments will buy them to distribute, or Western societies will take donations and use them to buy them for people.
Oh, come on. If we're just going to use them to buy them for people, I can buy $100 desktops and just send them there.
The rationale for this is most of these places don't have access to electricity.
A car battery, that
doesn't work, Scott.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
There's a lot of reasons,
man,
that I won't get into, but things like capacitors and resistors.
Yep.
All right, whatever.
And electrons.
Still.
Anyway, the whole concept, I guess, you know, more than the, you know, charity aspect of it, the idea of, you know, a laptop that wouldn't require any power source or anything was just kind of cool.
Yeah, the crank, I think, is awesome.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of crank and solar chargers lately. They got backpacks with solar cells to charge your iPod, and they got cranks to charge laptops and digital cameras. You know, while it's probably not a good idea to recharge a whole lithium-ion battery like that, you'll hurt yourself. Really good for being in the middle of nowhere camping. Your cell phone runs out. You know, if you've got no power.
Yeah. Or say you live in a more enlightened area. What if a place like New York City set up little chargers in the street that just power themselves solarly?
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of the, you know, those little shops that sell like all sorts of I Heart New York goods and like all the little bootleg Rolexes and stuff. You know,
those little
hole-in-the-wall shops that you're walking along.
Yep.
A lot of them sell cell phone charges. You know, it's like for 5 minutes you can charge your cell phone at their charger, and they charge you like.
Do they have like an adapter for every cell phone and everything there?
I'm not sure, you know, because I've never done it, but I've seen this advertised, you know, free technology charging.
I knew they had stuff like that because it worked. One day, some guy's like, you know, BlackBerry died, and for some reason they didn't have a charging cable, or I don't know what was going on, but they went down to like the cell phone store, like the Singular store, and they got him a recharge, or they just traded in his battery for one that was charged that they had, or something. I don't know.
Well, I think there's definitely going to be more and more of a market for that sort of thing because battery technology is not keeping up with technology,
at all. But at least like the AA is dead, but now it's kind of like this double-edged sword. We have these great proprietary batteries for everything that are all rechargeable.
Everything has its own charger adapter.
Yeah,
now.
So we don't have to buy AA's, but now we have to keep everything charged.
Yeah, when we go to conventions, everyone brings their own personal power strip.
Yeah, it works out though, and stuff seems to be staying charged long enough. I mean, iPod goes for hours, digital camera goes for hours. It's good.
When I go places, like on trips, I have my Astro Boy lunchbox, and I put all my little gadgets in there with all their chargers and such. So I have my little lunchbox, I cart this stuff around.
All right.
So, yeah.
So we were talking about PCs on Monday and PC games.
Yes, and there's a large, large argument in the forums about it, which I would suggest you all read.
Well, I came across today one more humongous argument against PC games and to why you probably shouldn't play them. DRMs. Apparently, you know, a lot of games have copy protection. You know, Steam has it, but Steam's isn't really hurting your computer. It's just you have to have
Steam
an account.
Is broken.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. It doesn't work.
Mine works. Anyway, there's a DRM for PC games called StarForce. And apparently it's bad, not as bad as the Sony DRM, but almost as bad.
Oh, not as bad as the Sony DRM.
Yeah, it doesn't rootkit you, but it does screw up your computer, and it can destroy your CD-ROM drive. Just your CD-ROM will be broken.
Awesome. What does it do, rewrite the firmware or something?
It does crazy stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, if you buy, I mean, as much as I dislike the Xbox 360, and I have even more reasons to dislike it now, which we don't have time to talk about really, but suffice to say, it sucks. It won't break your games.
Well, it will if you turn it from vertical to horizontal while it's on.
Oi.
Yeah, if you have an Xbox, don't ever rotate it or knock it over.
Why do they call it the
360 then? You know? Nanchette.
Yeah, but anyway, there's a list I'm going to link to of all these PC games, some of which are pretty big PC games. I mean, Splinter Cell 3, XIII... I guess that's X13 it's called.
Isn't that that game with David Duchovny?
I have no idea. I know it's on the GameCube, so get the GameCube version if you want to
play
it.
Yeah, it's David Duchovny's in that, the X-Files guy.
Mm. All right. There's a bunch of games on here, and installing any Dead to Rights, these games will basically screw up your computer big time. And I don't know why you'd play them on the PC.
Yeah.
All right.
Though, in much better gaming news, a bunch of reporters and people have gotten to actually test drive the Nintendo Revolution controller.
Well, they did test drive it, I think, when they unveiled the thing at
E3
behind
closed doors.
Oh, yeah,
but those were tech demos. These are like, they took a level from Metroid Prime 2, and they
That's what the tech demos were when they were at E3.
Yeah, and
these are the exact same things, only now they're letting more people use them, and they're
pairing them
around.
A lot of people are using them, and CNN has an article about it, and these are people who, many of them, aren't even gamers, and pretty much all the reviews are glowing. They say such things as, wow, that was amazing, it's perfect, oh my god.
I totally want to mess with one. I mean, I showed Macy the commercial, Macy's my roommate, and I showed her the commercial, and she was like, pretty sweet. She was very impressed.
I saw the controller, like they unveiled it. I was like, what the hell? What are they thinking? And then I saw like 2 seconds of that demo reel. I was like,
Yeah, there's another video online that someone made where some people are real idiots and they don't really understand how the revolution's going to work. Someone made a video where it's like, this is how it's going to work, damn you. Here it is. Now you get it. If you don't get it after watching this, screw you. So if you still don't get it, you got to see this video.
More and more, I'm thinking the revolution is going to make a big splash in the game industry like yeah. Sony and Microsoft aren't ready for.
I think it's going to be, you know, the kind of curve where it grows a little bit, and then it grows a lot.
Well, the Microsoft's generating a lot of ill will over the Xbox.
Was that a natural log, I think? I'm not sure.
A natural log would pretty much be impossible.
Oh, okay.
In short order.
I forget which sorts of functions make the graphs that do what I think. Because it's been a while. But yeah. So there was this contest on Engadget today. Actually, it was a week of contests, and they were giving away gadgets every day of the week. And basically, there was a different thing that you needed to do for each day of the week. So like on Tuesday, they said something during their podcast of what to do to win the prize. And to win the prize today, all you had to do was post a comment saying what the prize was. And they didn't tell you what the prize was.
Is there a limit to how many comments you can post?
Any one person can post one guess. The catch was that you couldn't just say something like Dell monitor. You had to say Dell 2405 FPW. You had to say exactly which gadget it was. Now, what's occurred here is something that's very, very interesting. There are, let me get the current count, 1,362 comments posted in this single blog entry. And there are very, very few duplicates. So now what we've basically done is made a list of every gadget that people want and actively desire.
And think is cool enough to be a prize in this contest.
Yeah. Most of them are Nintendo. Well, there's a disproportionate number of Nintendo gadgets because in the blog post, they used the question block as the, because they were like question mark, and they put a question block. So people started giving Nintendo guesses.
To me, I would not guess Nintendo because that's too obvious.
I'm beginning to think it might be Nintendo, but basically what they're going to do is they're going to search for the exact, you know, name of the gadget. Oh, wait, there's an update. Hold on. A couple of you are pretty freaking close. No one's got, oh, wait, they do have a winner. But
way to almost break the news incorrectly.
Okay, but no, there was an update that was made between when I left work. When I left work, there were like 600 of these, and they hadn't. And so this update was between now and then, where some people were close, but they're looking for a specific version, model, or edition of a device. Wow. So people had it, but they didn't have the version number right. So it might have been like someone might have guessed like iPod, but it was probably like iPod U2 edition. Or someone might have guessed Nintendo DS, but it was like Nintendo DS Mario Kart edition or something.
See, this one was all you. I mean, I don't really read Engadget. I like gadgets, but I don't buy many gadgets. I just like looking at them, so I don't even bother with Engadget.
No, I like Engadget because it's like, if you read Engadget and Gizmodo, you get all the gadgets. But there's also Akihabara News, which is like...
Oh, Akihabara.
Yes, they have. That's the best gadget site because you get all these Japanese gadgets that you'll never be able to own ever.
Actually, it's really cool if you go there.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
My favorite bit... Oh, this is a funny story. You know, I lived in Japan for a while, and there was this... I knew this guy from... Oh, God, where was he from? I think it was Panama, and we called him Ken. And I was with Ken in Akihabara one day, and we were going shopping at game stores. And there was this one game store. It was like a two-level place. It was pretty big. And I remember there was all these big displays for Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball, you know, these cardboard cutouts.
I remember that
game. So it was kind of ridiculous. But we go to the second floor. You know, the first floor is all standard Squaresoft kind of stuff. And we go to the second floor, and it's starting to get a little shady. You know, like all the Girl Get games and stuff like that.
All the games Piro likes.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, a little sketchy there. And, you know, these weird kind of hentai-looking PC games. I'm like, let's go back downstairs. But Ken, who has no idea what all this stuff is, he's kind of like, hmm. And he's wandering around, and he ends up smack dab in the middle of the Yaoi games section. And I know this podcast has like way too much Yaoi already. What with like, you guys wouldn't stop talking about Cluster Edge. It was hilarious.
But we couldn't. It was just
It just like stopped.
Because it could have been such a good show.
The
but
thing
then,
is, if you guys would ask me about this stuff, like I know I could have told you right away. It's like it's straight up BL. Duh.
Yeah, it's funnier if we find out on our own and then we scream about it.
It's funnier when the anime is structured in such a way where you don't find out until like 10 minutes.
So anyway, Ken was just standing there being like, What? And he's like poking at stuff and looking at stuff and be like, what is this? And there are like these schoolgirls in the corner just like dying laughing because there's this gaijin over there like in the middle of the Yaoi game section just like looking at everything. They're like, oh my god, tee-hee. And I'm like, Ken, come out. You know, it's getting embarrassing. And he's like, What's the matter? Oh my. But anyway, Akihabara is a real fun place. And you know, you can get laptops for like $69, but they're kind of sketchy and very, very old.
Hey, sketchy and old is fine. $69 for a laptop?
Those are useful for something, man. As long as the battery is good. That's what matters.
6,900 yen, whatever. But
and you need an AC adapter.
But anyway, there's some cool stuff going down in Akihabara.
Yeah.
I personally like Shibuya myself.
So I found something today. Well, I found a few things today, but one of them really stood out. It was a Flash game. And, you know, yesterday they would think there was a Command & Conquer Flash game, and I think we saw a Warcraft Flash game.
Yeah, the Command & Conquer one I never actually got to see. The link died, like, immediately.
Yeah, it came back up, but it wasn't worth the trouble. But anyway, today I found an entire brand new SNES-style Zelda game made entirely in Flash.
Now, I have one really serious question about this. Why is Tingle in it, and why is he, like, the first guy you meet?
I don't know, because I haven't played the game more than a minute. But I do know this. I didn't read the text from when you talked to Tingle, but it might be funny, and it might be making fun of Tingle, because as soon as you talk to him, a bomb shows up. And normally Link uses bombs as an item. This bomb seems to follow Link around like it's a party member.
It's his pal.
Awesome.
So I think this is just a really silly parody, but also possibly quality Flash Zelda game that might be worth the time it takes to play it.
Huh. Hmm. Though, to segue into a real-world Tingle.
Oh, my God.
I was going to talk more about Flash, because my entire life has been Flash these past couple weeks.
Going to NYU and everything.
Can you make a Zelda game?
I'm not that good with the interactive components of
Flash.
Like, I'm sorry. You know, I want to learn how to make a game, but I use it a lot for, like, I don't use it so much for web animation either. I've been using it to actually do a lot of my, you know, 2D elements for my movies, and it works pretty well. I like the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually saves me a lot of work when I draw right into the computer, so. And Scott's making faces at me like,
I was just like, Flash.
I like Flash.
Okay.
So anyway, going into my thing of the day, which is actually a borrowed thing of the day from Scott, because I spent all day reading, you know, Korean modernism assignments about European colonialism.
Hooray
in Africa,
for us so. Not having school.
Yeah, so I guess if you don't want to hear lectures about that, I can tell you about Hard Gay. And
Hard,
you know, like,
Gay!
So that kind of fits in with my whole I was going to Akihabara thing. And so, you know, I've been kind of distant from the Japanese pop culture scene for a couple years since I moved to college. And anyway, there was something Scott showed me today in Google Video, which is apparently one of the Japanese top comedians and a lot of advertisements and stuff. And he's called Hard Gay, and Razor.
He looks exactly the way you might.
Razor Ramon HG.
And it's like completely over the top, like biker gear with the hat, and he's, you know, he runs around as basically this guy who's like being very over-the-top, like, gay biker dude running around an office and just messing with stuff and, like, taking pictures of his face in the copier. And in the end, he ties himself up with Christmas lights and puts himself up on the billboard of Yahoo Japan. He's like, I am the boy from Yahoo Japan.
And it's, Yahoo.
It's, Yahoo. Yeah, Yahoo. It's, I don't know. I can't picture Yahoo in America pulling one of those sort of commercials. But,
I know.
It was pretty entertaining, let me tell you.
Isn't it funny how in America, like gayness is like half the people think it's evil, but in Japan it's hilarious.
I mean, I gotta be perfectly frank. Like a lot of anime fans and stuff in the States think, since there are so many, you know, bishonen and, you know, ambiguous
yaoi.
Back on the yaoi again. There's so much gender confusion and stuff in anime and manga that Japanese society must be much open to this sort of thing. And actually, you know, there's still a lot of problems with prejudice. And, you know, I think both societies need to learn to be more open and accepting of the whole.
Yeah. Well, I point out that South Africa made gay
legalized
marriage
gay marriage. And it's like, wow, the world has, you know, I'm 21 years old. The world has changed quite
so
a bit.
So the Japanese
in my
people
lifetime.
aren't really any more tolerant of gayness than we
they
are.
They are. They're not like the
it's
crazy
not
Christian
hard to be more
right
tolerant
right.
than the U.S.
Yeah, the U.S.
Yeah.
In the past couple of years, you've just seen just like this really big backlash by Christian fundamentalists. And this, it's like, God forbid our government turn into a theocracy. It's really starting to make me nervous, what with the religious right commanding the amount of power it does in our political system. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't want to offend anybody.
Oh, we want to
offend people.
Well, you know, when it comes to being this stupid, and if you start being a bigot, I don't care if I offend you. So, yeah.
I mean, offend people.
I am a bigot only against bigots. So,
Fair.
Yeah.
Appear.
Now, it's weird that we have three things of the day, and as we were about to start this bit, I didn't have a thing of the day ready.
Good
so
job.
I was sitting here, and I was just about to hit record, and I thought, all right, I need to find something amusing quickly. Fark will provide. And
came through in spades.
The number one link on Fark, as I'm speaking, is, first of all, it was a link to lyrics to Christmas carols, but not just any Christmas carols. Cthulhu Christmas carols. Cthulhu Fatagin.
Relay.
Cthulhu Fatagin. He's been featuring
now we're playing
prominently
the MP3.
Playing
the MP3.
I mean, we're talking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Cultist. Carol of the Old Ones. Oh, Come All Ye Deep Ones.
But they don't rhyme in meter the way they should.
No.
They're close
I'm
enough.
Sorry.
I think you just... It's like they have a different syllable in mind, and they don't... You know,
yeah,
when
they
write
don't
it like this,
Christmas
they don't
know carols. You'd think being blasted with them since Halloween would have kind of ingrained them in the gray matter, but no.
Yeah, but I mean, they're cultists. They don't like listening to Christmas carols, except these Christmas carols.
Blah, 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 you know what we need? Blah, blah, we need a way blah, blah, to, like, blah, 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 an XML standard format where you can type in, like, sheet music, and then a web browser that can render it so you can actually read it. That would be real useful.
There's actually composition software.
Yeah, but I'm talking, like... anyone can write sheet music using an open standard format, and then web browsers and things will render it properly, so that way you can make websites with music on them. And if you're writing lyrics
that
or something,
would be cool.
Then people could see, oh, that's how you sing it.
That would be pretty sweet.
Except it's illegal
like
to share lyrics now.
Only if they're real MPA lyrics. You can share these if you made them up.
Yeah, I say if you make something up and you want to share
I think
it
if
for
some,
free, go you.
Yeah, if someone made this technology and made it work, I think what we'd see is a lot of people writing music or a lot of people like... distributing their songs that they wrote to get people to sing them and all kinds of stuff.
That'd be real handy.
It would be. Maybe we should do it.
Yeah. Because one, if it took off, we'd be famous and rich. Two, even if it only took off a little bit, we'd get some freaking music for the podcast.
Yeah, definitely. All right.
Yeah.
So our main bit today, and we came up with this not too long ago, and we came up with it because
cat
it's a topic.
Cat attacks old lady's hair.
Nah. But shaving, which not sound like a geek topic, but
cat attacks women's
there's
hair.
There's been a big movement among geeks lately. A lot of like life hackers and people, and people like us, where we're going back to old school shaving.
Old school shaving is where it's at.
As in, instead of spending, you know, $100 every couple of months on like Mach 3 razor blades and using shaving cream that smells like deodorant, we use, you know, a badger hair brush,
shaving foam,
an actual like safety razor that you put a real razor blade into.
Yeah, at first I thought the first thing that you got to worry about is, are you going to cut yourself? The answer is no. It's called a safety razor for a reason.
The dangerous one is the straight razor.
Yeah, the straight razor, do not go for. I mean, the straight razor, you could be all cool, but you have to learn to sharpen it with the strop and everything.
Oh, man. Wim was like, for a while, he was like, I want to buy a straight razor. I am going to buy a straight razor and sharpen it with another thing. I'm like, no, don't, no.
I thought it would be cool.
I thought it would be cool, too. I like you with your nose. Thank you very much.
I realized the DE razor is just as good.
Well, plus, I pictured myself doing it. And I thought, all right, I can get my chin. And then I pictured trying to shave my neck.
Just putting that over your jugular. Doesn't that just send chills up your spine?
I've cut myself a couple times with a safety razor.
Yeah. I never cut myself with a safety razor.
Well, I shave every day, and I shave against the grain.
Oh, I don't shave against the grain.
I pretty much go all out.
Speaking of shaving, let's go see the, you know, the new Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd.
No, I've heard it's got really good reviews, and I might be going with my pop.
I don't know what you're talking about at all.
You don't know what Sweeney Todd is?
Oh my god, scary. It's the best musical to go see. I mean, musicals in...
What does that do with shaving?
But oh, it does. It's about a barber who kills people, and then they throw him down a chute, and the lady downstairs makes them into mince pies, and people eat them.
Yeah,
it's a scary musical.
Anyway, back to actually shaving.
It's very, very funny, actually.
But, like, there was some shill article a while ago we saw.
Yeah.
And it explained, like, there's this movement of people shaving with old technology because the old technology was actually better than the new technology. The new shaving technology only exists to make money.
Yep. And I was like, that makes sense, but this article seems like someone is really shilling out this website that sells old shaving stuff.
So we did our own research, and all signs pointed to, yes, not only is it cheaper to save with a real old, like, 1950s style razor, but it's better.
Yep.
It's better and cheaper.
You know what? I got one.
I got one.
It is better and it is cheaper.
My shave is twice as close. I haven't cut myself, like, seriously in a long time. No more razor burn.
Imagine if you could shave and it felt like just wiping a sponge on your face, and then when you were done, it felt like a baby's ass.
Actually, no matter how close I shave, I still have some stubble, so that'd be one
stubbly
baby.
Well, it's visible. Like, I see specks, and, like, the first time I did it, I was worried because I still saw black specks on my face. I was like, oh, no. But then when I rubbed my hand on it, I was like, oh.
Yeah. So that's why I'm glad I'm not a guy, because the daily shaving bit, you know, I'm not a huge fan of shaving. I do it merely for public appearances so I can wear short plaid skirts because I like the plaid. And
I like short skirts.
Yeah. Now, I don't do it merely for you. I just like fashion. But winter's great because, you know, you're never showing your legs a lot, so you don't have to shave them a bunch. But,
yeah, I mean, I went to work with, like, a baklava over my face to hide the fact that I didn't shave, that wouldn't go over so well.
Yeah, and I thought that people in work would get upset because, you know, I kind of have to wear kind of work clothes and, you know, I only shave, like, once every 3 days maybe.
Yeah,
but
if I go,
they don't really care at all.
If I go one day without shaving, I have a beard.
Yeah.
Kind of annoying.
Yeah. And the beard is fine.
Anyway, the first thing you got to know about shaving the old school way is what to buy.
Yep. And basically, you're all smart.
Lovely.
Seriously, if you just Google
oils
for, like, classic shaving.
To make you smell like a Nancy boy.
Yeah, I smell like a Nancy boy. I smell like roses and lavender now.
Lavender
we'll get to
is
that.
Good.
We'll get to that.
You know, you go to Crabtree and Evelyn near Rockefeller Plaza. They have all the old school shaving stuff, but it's expensive.
No, yeah. This isn't expensive if you buy it online.
Yep, we got a couple websites that are really good for it.
Yeah, so we'll also link to the MSN. We'll just link to the MSN article that had the real deal story.
Yep. And I'll trust us, while this article might sound like someone was paid to write this stuff up, no, we're serious. I shave with this stuff, like, constantly.
So the first thing you need is a double-edged razor. You probably want a safety razor. You want to get a heavy one, too. The heavy one, you don't have to push as hard because the weight leans against your face and you're not going to cut yourself.
Yep, or your legs. I mean, women use these, too.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, you want to buy a double-edged safety razor. It's not double-edged like there are two blades. like one on top of the other. It's one on one side and one on the other. So you can shave, flip it around, shave some more, and then rinse it off.
Yep.
And basically it means the blade lasts twice as long.
Now, he said you want a heavy one, and that's true very much, because a light one, you have to regulate the pressure with your hands. A heavy one, you literally just hold it, let it rest against your skin, and then let it glide all, like, across your face.
Mm-hmm. And as for a beginner, that's definitely what you want. And if you get a high amount of skill, you can get a slightly closer shave with the lighter razors and, you know, all kinds of different fancy ones with comb, open combs, closed combs, all kinds of crazy things. But just don't worry about that. I got the beginner's razor, and you know what? I'm probably never going to buy anything better because it's good enough.
Yeah.
Wow. It sounds comfortable. Sounds like you're not scraping hair off your body.
Yeah.
You know, like, which is what I always think of shaving. It's like, oh, time to scrape the hair off. Oh.
Plus, I mean, you they're high-quality blades. Like, you take a Mach 3, which is, like, the most popular razor for men. You go, like, one stroke with it, and it's already dull.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember my bio teacher, he was teaching in 11th grade, taught us about scanning electron microscopes, and he had a picture of a razor, right? He said, well, he didn't even tell us it was a razor. He's like, what's that? And it's like, you see this edge full of, like, these big pits and holes and jaggies, right? And you're like, huh. He's like, that's a razor. We're like, wow, that's a pretty used razor. Then he shows us another one with bigger holes, twice as many pits, and, like, deadly jaggies. And he's like, that's the used one. The other one is brand new. And I'm like, holy crap. Holy crap.
Now, those Mach 3 type blades, they cost a lot of money. A
lot of money.
The blades you need for a safety razor, it's about 5 cents a blade.
And they've got platinum in them.
Yeah, they're platinum coated. So if you like platinum.
Platinum's worth something, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And it actually, it's a lot. Platinum is actually the real deal. It does something as opposed to the, what did they say, diamond coating crap they've got on the, that's not real.
But the main difference is the blades are actually higher quality because there's just one of them and it's a real razor blade. So it won't go dull as quickly as whatever cartridge razors you might use.
Mm-hmm.
And two, even better, the blades are so cheap. I change blades like once or twice a week because it's just so cheap. I might as well use the sharpest blade I can.
There are also people who seem to think that, you know, the cartridge razors will start out sharp, get a little bit dull, and then stay at that dullness for a very long time, and you can just keep using them. One guy even said he used them for a year. That's probably a bad idea, because then you're looking for things like razor burn or ingrown hairs or not a very close shave at all, and yep. I can't imagine it would be comfortable. The general rule for knowing when a razor is dull is if you shave and you feel it tugging on your hairs, time to change.
Because if it tugs on the hair, either it's going to rip the hair out, which hurts a lot, or it's going to pull the hair out, cut it, and the hair is going to go back in, and now you're real likely to get an ingrown hair.
I got ingrown hairs with the the normal cartridge razors a lot. As soon as I switched to this, you know, old school shaving, I haven't had an ingrown hair in freaking forever.
Yeah.
It's great. Especially if you have sensitive skins.
Now, the next big component, I mean, you need the razor. Now you need a brush, shaving brush.
The brush is the most important ingredient. You can probably, if you just use a brush, your same shaving cream and everything you use now, but you use a brush, it'll improve your shave tenfold.
Now, it can't be any, you don't want to get like just a brush you see in the store. You have to get a badger hair brush. That sounds stupid. We're not kidding.
Yeah. There are boar's hair brushes you can buy in CVS for $5. That's like sandpaper that'll scratch your face up.
It'll hurt. Like, it's a bad idea. The money you save is not worth it.
Yeah. A badger hair brush is expensive, but it's so soft and so nice. And,
I didn't know badgers are so soft. I want a pet badger.
Yeah, they weren't so vicious.
It's like, that's not a computer. That's a rabid Wolverine. I was reading your Penny Arcade comic today, and it brought tears of nostalgia to my eyes. Those are old strips, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the published one.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Penny Arcade.
Oh, yeah. So there are badger hair brushes that are like ultra super badger hair brushes made only of neck hair. Because they say the neck hair of the badger is the most soft.
You don't need that.
You don't need that. That's just trying to get your money.
Because a brush like that, they'll charge hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It's just not worth it.
Just don't go. It's unnecessary, too.
Even better, I learned recently, I found out why the neck hair from the badger is so prized. Because the ends of it are frayed, which means the brush will retain more water in it, which we'll get to in a second. Retaining water is key.
Mm-hmm.
if you have a normal badger hairbrush, over time the ends fray, and it's the same as having a neck hairbrush.
Mm.
So there's no reason to buy the neck hairbrush. Just buy a normal brush and use it a lot, and as it wears out, it'll get better.
And a brush will last you years and years and years, so don't worry about buying it for like $40, because the money you save on the cheap razors compared to the cartridge will more than pay for that brush. And the comfort of the shaving, I can't put a price on.
Yep, as long as you take, like, let it dry out, like, don't just stick it in a closet or in a medicine cabinet where it'll get moldy, it'll last literally 10, 20 years.
Yep.
Like, no exaggeration. Most people buy one or two brushes in their entire life.
Now, the last thing you're going to need is cream, because the cream from the can really won't cut it with the brush.
Yeah, and once you switch to a real shaving cream, shaving is no longer this chore you do in the morning. It's this pleasant ritual.
Mm.
It feels good, and it refreshes you.
Yep. Now, the cream that we get comes in a little tub, and you kind of, when you, we'll talk about technique next, but there's, what's the brand? Something of London. Bond of, Taylor of Old Bond Street.
Yes.
That's the brand that we get.
Taylor of Old Bond Street.
Taylor
of
Old
Bond Street. Sounds delightfully archaic.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's very, I mean, they talk about how it's, like, the mixture is handmade in London or somewhere in Britain, and it's actually
lovely.
Shipped here.
Yep. It's actually not really that expensive.
And I mean, all it is, it's glycerin and fragrance.
Yep.
I buy this stuff in a tube because I don't like aerosol cans. I think they're evil.
Well, the tub is just as non-evil as the can.
Yep, or, just a nice little
tub. I mean, the tube, whatever.
And it smells really nice, like... It's perfume, but it doesn't smell like perfume. It just smells good.
Yeah, and if you don't want perfume, I got, because I have really sensitive skin and stuff, I got the hypoallergenic one, which doesn't really have a
doesn't
scent.
Smell like anything.
Yeah, that's good, because I don't want it to smell like anything. But if you do want to smell, they have, what, rose?
Yep. Apparently the
lavender.
Most popular among men who use this are rose and lavender, but they have a whole bunch of different scents.
Yep.
Apparently, lavender is the really traditional one. Like, my mom found out that you guys used, like, the fancy shaving cream, and she thought that was pretty cool. And she said, yeah, lavender is a traditional male scent.
Actually, I've wanted lavender, and both times I tried to order it, it was sold out
wow.
at the time. So
all
I
right.
ended up with rose, which is
I'm
like my
sure
second.
There's places you can get it in New York.
Probably.
Seriously.
It's just hard to find these places because they don't advertise pretty loudly. The internet, it's easy to find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, now that you've got all your equipment, you got to get the technique.
Basically, you know, with a Mach 3 or a Schlick or whatever, basically it seems to be Schick. The harder you push and the harder you scrape yourself and the more repeatedly you scrape yourself, the smoother the shave is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact opposite with a real razor.
Mm-hmm. What you're going to do is, the first thing I know about shaving is that the water and the cream are there to lubricate your face, so that the razor just slides across the skin.
Water more than anything. Water is the most important part in this.
Hot water. As hot as you can get without burning yourself.
Honestly, you want to stop up the sink and fill it with hot water and leave it full of hot water the whole time you shave.
The hottest water that your sink can produce.
If you didn't shower right before, you actually want to dip a washcloth in the water and soak your face. Just hold the hot cloth against your face for a couple minutes.
Yeah, because if you don't, when you heat up your face with the hot water, the water helps to lubricate your face when you're going to get the razor on there, but it also opens the pores so the hairs kind of come out.
And then you'll get a much cleaner, closer shave and it'll feel a lot better.
Yep. Next, you want to put the brush in the water and make sure it absorbs a lot of water.
Yep. Usually while you're filling the bowl, you just drop the brush in there and let it kind of float and fill up with water.
Yep. And as soon as the brush is filled with water and you're ready to shave, your face is nice and hot and wet, you take the brush and you kind of shush it around in the tub of cream, but only do it a little bit because that cream lathers up like crazy.
A little goes a long way is an understatement.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even shush it. I used to shush it. Now I just kind of dab it in there once, like dab. Like literally just bloop.
Yep.
Then take the brush and go around your whole face going up and down and swirly swirly with the brush.
Yep, and don't rush it. Enjoy it. I mean, it feels good. It
feels
this
really
is
good.
Positively.
And what'll
happen? Fascinating.
Yes.
Like, I didn't know how this worked either.
Ah.
Well, what happens is the brushing is dual purpose. The first purpose is to get the cream covering all the hairs of your face. Every place you're going to shave should be covered in cream, and it will lather up and cover it all.
Yep, and you'll probably get it in your nose, in your mouth. Don't worry, it can't hurt you. It's not like the stuff you buy in an aerosol can.
And it doesn't taste bad. I try to avoid the nose and mouth, and I've gotten pretty good at it.
Yeah.
What was that kind of shaving cream you used to use before? Like, the stuff now, it smells like like roses. It smells real nice. The other stuff, it was like the man.
I used to use Gillette.
Stuff like Old Spice or something.
I haven't worn it recently, but for most of my life, I use Stetson.
Stetson.
I wore Stetson cologne. I used Stetson aftershave.
Stetson, that's
all right.
I covered the inside of the shower with Stetson because you left it there. And so I was like,
yeah, she used up all my freaking shaving cream.
It was fun. I was like, whoa, I'm drawing on the walls. This is great. And I called him on the phone and be like, I used all the stuff you left at my house.
Which was great when I wanted to shave and I didn't have any. Yep.
And then the second purpose of the brush is that the brush will actually grab the hairs and pull them out a little bit more. So you have a hot, wet, creamy face and you have this brush pulling the hairs as far out of the pores as they can go without being pulled out of your face.
Yep, but it doesn't pull them out so far that you'll get an ingrown hair like you do with like the Mach 3.
Yeah,
or the
you
whatever.
Won't feel the hairs being pulled out of your face, but no, they are being pulled. So, yeah.
And then you just take the razor, and it's really hard to hurt yourself. Just, you know, don't be dumb. Never slide it sideways, always slide it down.
Yep, if you slide it sideways, you're pretty much going to cut yourself. Guaranteed. Yep.
Now, if you're worried about cutting yourself, or if you use an open comb, which basically just means you'll get a closer shave but is more dangerous, buy a styptic pen. They're like $2, and if you cut yourself, you dab it once with this pen, and it'll stop bleeding.
Yep. I've never had a need because I've never had, like, you know, a gusher. Maybe if I had, like, a little bump on my face from something, it would get cut, but it would just go away right away.
Yep. I've cut myself once or twice, but they were minor, and it was usually because I was trying to get a real close shave for some reason.
Yeah, if you get, like, a serious cut, then you did something wrong.
I'm just thinking, both my uncles, Dave and John, they both shaved their heads. You know, it's like, as soon as they started to go bald, they're like, ah, I'm shaving my head.
And they cut their heads?
Great. They're both really cool. One's from Chicago, one's from San Francisco. And Uncle John was just, I was remembering him talking about shaving his head. He's like, you know, that's the stupidest thing, you know, walking around with toilet paper stuck to your dome. That's no good. So, yep. You know, it's like that styptic pen is probably a boon if you don't want to look like an idiot. So,
though we don't want to scare you, you probably won't need one.
Yeah.
It's really hard to hurt yourself with these things.
I haven't cut myself seriously at all. It's not a straight razor. It's a double-edged razor. And when you see it, you'll know what we're talking about. So all I do is I just lean it against my face, the razor, drag it down until, you know, it's kind of like, all right, that's about as much as I can shave in one stroke. I take it, I flip it around to the other side where the other razor is, and I do the equal amount of shaving on the other side of my face.
The more hair you have or the thicker it is, the shorter, more frequent rinsing you want to do.
Yep.
Short strokes, rinse often.
Yep. Keep that razor clean, keep it hot.
And two,
keep your face hot and
keep
wet.
Keep everything hot and keep everything wet. And most importantly, the first time you shave with it, you go with the grain,
mm-hmm.
all the way around. Then you can stop there if you want. If you want a really close shave, do it again going against the grain.
Yep.
That's more dangerous. You'll probably cut yourself before you learn how to do it. But the shave is incredible.
Yeah, if you shave up, you shave your whole face down, then start from the beginning and shave your whole face up, you probably won't even see little specks.
I do it maybe once a month. Like, I do it before a special occasion, like a fancy dinner, I'm going to see someone, because it's kind of tough to do.
Yeah, I do it, and I can get away with it, but sometimes I get a little bit of razor burn under the chin or some ingrown hairs. So I only do it if there's something, like, right today that's important, because the next day my face will be all eh.
Yep.
And that's the best way to shave.
I mean, like, we're not plugging a product here. We don't, you know how we hate advertising, but this is really...
It's a method, not a product. It's,
yes.
It's like, this is the best way to sweep your floor. This is the best way to blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to link to a site...
Blueberry muffins or
that,
something.
Like, sells this stuff, but that's just because that's the site we happen to buy it from.
Yeah, if you don't like that site, go to some other site, you know, buy a different brand of razor. Just don't buy a cheap one. Make sure that your razor is heavy in metal.
Expect to spend about $100 total, but that includes a razor that'll last forever, a brush that'll last forever, a pile of blades, and a nice thing of cream.
Yeah, and I got my first tub of cream. When did we buy that first tub of cream?
Oh, almost a year ago.
Really?
So like six,
no,
because
we were
ago.
Living here.
Six
so
months
maybe
ago.
6 months ago.
It was right after we moved here.
Yeah, and I still, it doesn't even look half empty.
I've gone through a tub and a half already, but I shave every day.
Yeah, and I see. I bought 10 blades. I still haven't used them all.
I've gone through about 40 blades, but I have a very thick beard.
Yeah. Now, you can buy the blades that are, like, fancy and platinum on the internet, and they're pretty cheap. They're, like, maybe $5 or something, but if you're kind of cheap, you can get them at the grocery store, and they're not as good as the platinum ones, but they're almost as good.
Or you can pick them up at the, you know, the post-production center at NYU. They provide you with a tray of razor blades when you start your semester of sight and sound film, because you, well,
for
this is a funny
cocaine?
Story. Well, it's very funny
suicide?
Because, yeah, I was like, there's this class you get to take your sophomore year, and you actually get to deal with like a positive film strip, you know, like a actual film. And so you're cutting with a razor and you're splicing, and it's very nice, you know, it's a very tangible approach to media, and it is really kind of cool. You know, this is before you move into all the digital forms of editing. And so you're working in the little tiny Steenbeck room with this cleaning solution that makes you feel really weird and really like you got to keep ventilation, and they provide you all these razors. And so I'm like, you sent me to college to get high and play with razors. You know, this is dangerous.
How do you,
you know?
I always wondered, how do you paste the film together after you cut it?
It's a special kind of tape.
Oh, tape,
so
all right.
So it's like you make a splice with a razor blade, and then there's this tape with perforations that match the film perforations.
So if you mess up, you can just tape it back together?
Yeah, but, you know, you got to be careful where you splice, because every time you splice, you can kind of see the tape.
I mean,
it goes by so fast that it's not really obvious, but a lot of splices don't look too
obvious. Yep, I got you.
Huh.
All right.
Yeah,
so,
this went on a lot longer than we expected, which is awesome.
Yep.
Especially since we did a short crap show yesterday. We promised we'd make up for it. We did.
So yep. I felt kind of like the third wheel. Like they've got a dynamic going, and I'm not sure when I'm supposed to interject. You know, I'm kind of sitting here like, and when they talked about shaving, I'm like, this is a world I've never entered into. You know, I've got to talk about something they can't relate to.
That's cool.
Then I can have my
superiority. Keep in mind, I mean, for all you listeners and for you, this was very much like an experiment. We weren't sure how we would deal with having someone who wasn't one of us on the show.
Yeah.
So this whole episode is kind of an experiment. I like the way it turned out.
Turned out all right.
We're learning. I mean, it's hard. Like, if you
saw
the
way yesterday's episode.
Yeah. Like, I face away from everyone else in the room, so I can't see if other people are, like, signaling me sometimes. And it's kind of hard for us to communicate sub-channel where you guys can't hear while we're talking.
Maybe we should get the DSs and the PictoChat going on or something.
That's probably a really good idea.
Yeah.
But, well, enough for the Metavits.
Visit our website, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We see you all listening. We can see your downloads. And there are far fewer people on the forums than there are listening.
Yeah, so frontrowcrew.com.
Yes, frontrowcrew.com.
Forums. Go there.
You don't
now.
Want to be lurking in doorways. It's no good. No.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussions. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.